Welcome to another episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. I am your host, David Hochberg. Special shout out to the chief down in Chatham, Illinois, for sending me that nice thank you note and all of the goodies from the Chatham Police Department. Didn't even know there was a Chatham Police Department until one of my guys who lives in Washington, Illinois, told me that it's right around the corner from where he lives. So thank you to the chief down there for sending me a bunch of goodies and pens and everything that I could use in my daily life, and the kind words about the show, which goes to you guys as well, Chief Lally and Chief Bird, for your participation. So we are making a difference, and he thanked me for having this outlet so the chiefs could get the word out. So let's just dive into it, because Chief Bird is out there in San Diego in his casual attire, attending an FBI event. Just wanted to jump into it. So it's the week of the Democratic National Convention. It's the last day of the Democratic, last night, thank God. I'll tell you what, I was going to drive downtown to WGN today, said no shot, that was going to happen, so I took the train. I've been taking the Skokie Swift for about 40 years, ever since I was a little boy, took it into the city today. I'll tell you what, the Skokie Swift train station usually smells like dried beer, urine, nicotine, marijuana, and despair. So I walked in, paid for my parking, and a smell of bleach. And I think they put diapers on all of the pigeons, because there was not one drop of pigeon poop anywhere in the Skokie Swift, and it's usually a landmine area. So, and I usually get a contact buzz walking from the train to the to WGN, not a whiff of marijuana in the city of Chicago. So I don't know if they've got air purification systems going on someplace, but I haven't seen the city this clean and this well organized in a long time. And that leads me to this first question. A lot of civil unrest going on. We had Superintendent Snelling on my radio show at WGN with our Behind the Badge initiative, where we raised funds and awareness to raise money so the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation could purchase bulletproof vests, replacement vests for officers of the Chicago Police Department. And I met Superintendent Snelling this past, I think, February or March. And we all know that Chief Bird ran him over while playing football in high school, which he called into the show and made sure Superintendent Snelling was aware of that. And they started talking smack to each other. Just from the craziness and the I'm trying to use the right word so Lou doesn't get mad at me, the civil unrest and the protests. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of that in the past 72 hours in downtown Chicago, more so in the past 72 hours. And just watching the professionalism, watching how the Chicago Police Department is working in unison. The left hand knows what the right hand is doing. The blue shirts know what are being directed by the white shirts, which is the leadership team and the command team. And just the orchestration of what's going on. I'm proud. I have to say this. I am proud to be a Chicagoan, even though I live in Northbrook, but I consider myself a Chicagoan. I always support Chicago Police Department, but I am proud of the professionalism and the organization of what the Chicago Police Department has done in the past 72 and soon to be 96 hours. I'm sure tonight's going to be a freak show because it's the last night, Thursday night. Can you speak of that, what you guys are picking up from it as leaders of your own forces and departments, and what bits of information, how you can, you know, just speak of the organization and what you can bring back to implement into Calvin out in Elgin. We'll go ladies first. Chief Lally.
Yeah. So first I want to, you know, I think it's important that the superintendent, you know, I actually met him. I want to say I was at an event in Chicago. It was a women law enforcement thing where I was speaking, and I met him. He sat next to me, and I will tell you, what a gentleman, just what a, you know, he has a very hard job. And so, you know, for him to lead that organization, and to show his leadership on display during this, because the whole world is watching, right? And so he was just a true professional. And it was really nice just to sit with them and talk for maybe about 5-10 minutes. He has a sense of humor. He was really down to earth. And so I really appreciated that. So we actually have two officers who are assigned to ILEAS, which I think everyone probably knows what that is. Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System, I think it stands for, if I'm off the top of
You're
my
right.
head. So we have two officers who are actually down there with ILEAS. And because we have two of our officers that are attached to ILEAS, we are getting some updates. I have a commander here who runs one of the regions for ILEAS. And so I'm getting some of those updates in real time in terms of how it's going. And it sounds like it's going well, to be expected. You're going to have some issues, and how they respond and how they show their professionalism. It's a credit to the whole entire organization, all the other agencies that are assisting them. And I think that's when we get an opportunity for people to see that as much as you see and hear a lot of things, horrendous things that happen in our profession, every day, men and women who come here and want to do the right thing and who truly want to make people feel safe, whatever your opinion is, right? Right, wrong, indifferent, our job is to keep you safe and to give you the space to allow for that freedom of speech to take place where people don't feel intimidated. And so I think, they're doing an amazing job. And so I did give credit to that department, to the superintendent, and also, our officers are down there too, and all the officers working. I think they're doing an amazing job, and I think it's a great way to just kind of highlight, truly where our profession has come. Because obviously, when the last time, the I think that the sentiment is what happened in the past at the DNC and in Chicago, and there's that kind of overarching, are these things going to happen again? And in light of the things that have happened over the past few years, like, what's this going to look like? And so I think he's probably looking forward to the weekend. If I had to guess, he's probably like,
For
this,
sure.
yes, he's probably like, I can't wait for Friday night where maybe he could sit down. Probably he hasn't, so kudos to him and his organization and to all the officers, the men and women who are truly being professionals and representing our profession. Exceptionally.
Dave, before you jump in, I just wanted Chief Lally. I don't know if you saw the news clip or the piece of media that was out there, how Superintendent stated something that he was really upset about how the protesters were speaking to his women officers and just calling them all types. And I mean, listen, I don't know the type of training these I'm trying to, I got Lou, I'm channeling Lou,
Yes, you have to. Yes.
my
Yeah.
inner chief
We
Lou
get
in here. But I don't know how you men and women in law enforcement can have a protester 6 inches in front of your face calling you all kinds of names and just defecating on you, it's a proper way of saying it, and just hold your cool like they're holding their cool. I mean, that is, and as a woman law enforcement agent, he was extremely upset with, and he let, and he as he's a very soft-spoken person, right, Chief Byrd? I mean, you go way back with him, but he's a very strong man. Just you could tell he's intense, and he was quite, I don't know him as well as Dave. I met him once, had him on my show for 15, 20 minutes, but he was not happy. So
No.
as a rank and file officer, what does that mean from a leadership standpoint, knowing that your male superintendent has got the female officers back? Chief Lally, then we'll throw it over to Chief Byrd.
Yeah. I will tell you, I've been in this profession. I'm in my 29th year. I have seen, being a female in law enforcement, I'm hoping for the day, and I won't see it. But there will be a day that comes where it is not a thing, right? Where females in law enforcement are just, we are professionals. I am a female chief. I'm very aware of, that, but I consider myself and have always considered myself to be a chief. A police officer, a detective, a sergeant, whatever I was. But so I think when you see that, and that's what I tell you, when I sat down with him and just in that very short time, it was 5 or 10 minutes, what a gentleman, but what a professional. It wasn't, you could just tell like his heart was in the right place. He was at a female, it was a women's for the Chicago Police Department, they have a group that they highlight women. And so I was there to speak. And so he's there and showing his support. So to me, I think that just shows his character. And again, I don't know him as well as Chief Byrd, but in that little interaction that I had with him, and I could pretty get a good read sometimes on people, he He was, I think that speaks volumes about who his character is and who he is as a person outside of his role and his title of superintendent, right? That's who he, in my opinion, is who he is inside, which I think is, so I hope, maybe the things that we do to promote women in our profession and to encourage people to join and apply and 30 by 30 initiative and all the stuff that we do. One day, and I won't see it probably, not while I'm the chief, but one day we just can look at each other and just say we are law enforcement professionals and our rank, our gender, our titles, our sex, all that stuff, be mindful of it, but also just, see people for who they are.
All right, I'm going to throw it over to Chief Burke because I know you got to jump, Dave. But
Oh, no, I got time.
again, this is Behind the Badge, Illinois. We're giving a police chief's perspective on law enforcement topics that come up on a daily basis, right? We just happen to be, this is in everybody's face right now because the DNC is in Chicago, okay? So we're a city of 8, 9 million people. We've got the entire world looking at us right now, and that's a lot of stress. Superintendent Snelling from your high school days, right? So, as a chief, what have you learned from the performance of the Chicago Police Department that you could bring back to DeKalb? And Superintendent Snelling, when he was talking about the female officers, if you could address that as well. So I'll throw it over to you, Dave.
Yeah, so like I said, I know Larry just from my working relationship. For our working relationship that we've had for years with CPD, of course, my brother's a Chicago commander, so I've been getting updates from him daily. I get the same updates that Chief Lally gets. When it comes to dealing with civil unrest and protests, I know Chief Lally can attest to this. Our officers are taking some enormous abuse, and you can see that happening now. And people have they're exercising their First Amendment right, but there's a certain level where our officers have to show so much restraint. You know what I'm saying, Dave? It's a lot of restraint. I've been there on that front line, because the only other uniformed body in the city of Chicago that can assist and has always assisted CPD is Illinois State Police. Now we have ILEAS, who is involved in this, which is great, but it hasn't always been the case. But when you came to boots on the ground, it was CPD, ISP. So, and I will tell you that the Illinois State Police, one of the things, and I could speak on this because, of course, I've been there for over 31 years. One of their strongest attributes is dealing with civil unrest, because we train for it with ISP, because we have to deal with prison riots. When there's a prison riot, the first people they call are the Illinois State Police. So we deal with this on a regular basis, very used to it. And I can tell you, through George Floyd, ISP and CPD handled downtown Chicago together. And our officers took a lot of abuse, just like you talk about the young ladies taking abuse. You sit there and you can hear some of the abuse that are given to minority officers. I mean, like some of the abuse that they take. So when you start getting into these buckets, you have female officers taking a certain different, whole different type of abuse, and then you have minorities taking something whole different. It's just different, like, how could you be a police officer? I can't believe you're a police officer. Yeah, I mean, you're going up against your own kind. All these type, and they pull on your heartstrings by doing that, Dave. And I remember during George Floyd, I had to tap people out and switch people constantly. It's a constant, like, hey, you get off the front line, let this person, because it's only so much that a human being can take. Truly, I mean, they're human beings; they're not machines. So when I look at what Larry's been doing, he's leading from the front, and Chief Lally knows exactly what that means because she does it at Elgin. I do it in DeKalb. I did it with the state police. You lead from the front, Dave. Your guys will run through walls for you if they see you in front and leading from the front, being a part of what's going on. I mean, now you have to be, now Larry is, and he's doing this. You have to be mindful not to get too deep into it, because you need to navigate this, so. I mean, you can't, you know, if he gets hurt or something, you lose your leader. You can imagine how important it is for him to be available for his officers. But he's out there. He's talking to the protesters. He's trying to keep things as calm as he can do. He's doing the best job he can do. And people, I mean, you know, some of the topics and the concerns that the protesters have are deep-rooted, Dave. I mean, they have a lot of reason to be there. There's some good people there who are protesting peacefully. And like Chief Lally said, from everything I've seen, things are going extremely well. But I would tell you, one of the hardest things to do is deal with civil unrest, because people are exercising their First Amendment right, which we have to protect as police officers. But, I mean, as you said, Dave, they're in your face. The bad actors, I mean, there are people paid to come and do this, Dave. Like, so if you can imagine, they commingle with the good protesters. That's when people, and I want the people who are listening to us understand, we understand that there are good people out there who have great intentions, who want to get their message across, and they should be allowed to do that peacefully. But there are also bad actors who get paid to come in and antagonize the police, cause disruption, damage to the city, and then you
elevate
can
elevate the temperature, right, Dave? Just elevate the bad instead of having a good protest. And they just ramp it up and get everybody stirred up, and then they want to spark that fire and burn the whole place down, right?
And they want to stir up and then when law enforcement has to engage them in a physical way, there's collateral damage. So then there's people who are good people who I'll give you an example. When Father Flager and I, we don't disagree about, it was a situation where he wanted to take over the Dan Ryan. And I was in charge of that detail. We did not.
Well, hang on. See, just to, Father Flager is a well-known Catholic priest down in the South.
On the South side of Chicago.
South side of Chicago. Very well-known. He's into public disobedience. He takes a number of causes under his belt. So for those that don't know, maybe Southern Illinois, who Father Flager is.
Might not know who he is. Right.
Right. Go ahead.
And thank you for that, Dave, because he is. He's a well-known pastor. And like you say, he's a Catholic priest. And he's done a lot of great work for the South side of Chicago. Don't get me wrong. We disagreed on this point about him taking over to Dan Ryan. Now, during that protest, though, and the reason why I bring this up is that, you know, you got Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was out there. It was extreme heat there. You know, he's over 80 years old. You have a lot of civilians out there. When I looked around, there were people who looked like my mom standing around, and they were all, wanting to walk down to Dan Ryan. And I said to myself, I thought, and I talked to my people about this. I was like, we don't want to get into a physical confrontation with the bad actors, because look at these elderly people. Who you think going to get caught up in that?
Yeah.
And I didn't want Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson, I mean, one of our most, I mean, historical, impactful civil rights leaders to get injured. He's, like I said, he's over 80 years old. It was 90 degrees out there, all these different factors. So, I mean, thank God that calmer heads prevailed and we were able to allow this march and it went off peacefully. But if you can imagine, though, Dave, the what could have happened, right? I mean, if you get into some, where you let the antagonist kind of dictate the response from your law enforcement agency. So we did our best, but I'm just saying Larry's doing a great job of doing that. That's why him being in front, just like Chief Lally would do if it was an Elgin, just like I would do if it was a DeKalb, our officers would know that we are out there with them, leading from the front, making sure that they're taken care of and that we're doing what is expected of us as law enforcement agents, as peacekeepers,
And not only the superintendent, but the deputy chiefs and the commanders and all the lieutenants and the sergeants, all the white shirts. Yeah,
yep.
All the white shirts. You know, you could see, and you can also see the respect that the blue shirts, which are the rank and file, for everybody that doesn't know, up in Chicago, the police officers wear blue shirts and the command wear white shirts, you could see the training. You could see the coordination. You could see this just didn't happen yesterday, that these men and women have been training. So, all right, we've beaten this into glue here, but I just wanted to spend the time to give the proper recognition to the men and women and the leadership of the Chicago Police Department for doing
important,
amazing
Dave. Job. Yeah. No, it's important. I mean, this is an important time, and look, let's just be real, and I know we all know this, but this is an important time in our country, right? I mean, this country is already divided. So this is, I mean, these conventions are important. They, I mean, at the end of the day, not just the DNC, I mean, they did the Republican National Convention as well in Milwaukee. These events are extremely important to the country. And like I said, we're divided right now. And I'll be honest with you, what's one of the things that scares me the most right now is that we are a country divided. And we need to come to a point where we are a unified country, and I don't know when that's coming. I hope soon, though. I mean, truly, I hope the next 4 years brings us to more of a unified front as the United States of America. Because I'm telling you, a divided country is not good for us. Right. It is not.
And hats off to the men and women who protected the Republican National Convention up in Milwaukee, 90 miles north of here. I'm in downtown Chicago. You go 100 miles north. So hats off to all the law enforcement professionals up there that came in from different states and through all over Wisconsin and Milwaukee area for keeping that convention safe and organized without much of any incident.